Well, this flows. I just wanted to extend a thank you to the APHA OHS committee for coordinating this presentation, and also to everyone here for being here so early and on Halloween, the day the Giants parade, and all that stuff. So I really appreciate that. As mentioned, my name is Jessica Martinez, and I'm here with the National Council for Occupational Safety and Health. For short, we're known as COSH groups. Out of curiosity, how many folks in the room have heard of COSH? Or COSH groups? Great. Okay, good. About half. So, National COSH is a federation of local and statewide COSH groups, and they're private nonprofit coalitions of labor unions, health and safety, technical professionals, and other interested folks in promoting health and safety. Our movement has over 30 years, and basically the National COSH was formed as a vehicle to coordinate efforts around with the different local COSH groups to promote health and safety through education and policy. The National Council for Occupational Safety and Health is committed to promoting health and safety for all working people, and we do this again through education, organizing, and advocacy. We train workers on a wide range of health and safety issues, such as hazardous materials, prevention of repetitive strain injuries, construction safety, and many, many other topics. We work with unions, worker centers. We integrate worker health and safety with community allies and anywhere really where you can find workers. We advocate for better enforcement. Work closely with regional OSHA folks, federal OSHA, in addition to other government agencies that are providing some sort of oversight in terms of worker health and workers' rights. We also promote a national agenda on different issues. We have some of our more active national campaigns include an immigrant workers campaign, a responsible contractor campaign, a whistleblower protections campaign. National COSH Network trains all types of workers. However, we have made huge strides to focus on low-wage immigrant workers. Studies have shown that, one, they make a huge proportion of the U.S. workforce and are also one of the most vulnerable populations. Occupational fatalities rate for all foreign-born workers was 20% higher than the rate for all workers, and the rate for foreign-born workers from Latin America was 40% higher than for all workers in general. So, through the different studies have shown, again, that this population, one, works in the higher risk industries, such as construction, agriculture, and manufacturing, and the Latino construction workers, about 65% of whom are foreign-born, had an 80% greater fatality rate compared to non-Hispanic construction workers. Again, you know, there's been different reports from the AFL-CIO, the National Immigrant Law Center, that shows that sometimes you find a lot of inconsistencies in terms of the policies that are written and the protections that there are for low-wage immigrant workers. To that, National COSH has made it part of its mission to focus on not only providing education on general worker health and safety, but also being able to advocate to make policy changes that are protect all workers, you know, independent of their immigration status. Some of the obstacles that we face in reaching out to this population are, maybe for some is obvious, but are language barriers. And it's not necessarily just limited to management, but also to government agencies that are providing some oversight in terms of the rights of these workers. Another is a big one is the fear of exposure to immigration authorities. They're also, in many industries, a very mobile workforce. So contact information constantly changes, so being able to provide some sort of follow-up work is a huge challenge. Lack of attention to safety by their employers. Again, you know, you have a diversity of intentions by employers. There's good and bad employers. But many that are, you know, overseeing immigrant workers are not necessarily
paying attention to the safety or are following laws and standards regarding health and safety of workers. There's also a lot of misconceptions about workplace health and safety laws. A lot of them are very new to the country and think that maybe in their country their laws were very limiting or non-existent. Many times believe also in the U.S. it doesn't apply to them necessarily. So at National Cosh, one of the things that we see as a vehicle to be able to reach to these populations is building partnerships. As mentioned before, we are committees and coalitions and not necessarily identify as one organization, but part of the Cosh groups includes partnerships with local worker centers, unions, community-based organizations, clinics, etc. So for us, building partnerships is key to reaching out to these communities. I wanted to point out at the top, top right, is a photo of a NICOSH coordinator, and this is basically a Café con Pan initiative, which basically targets day laborers. So what you have here is folks at 5:30, 6 a.m. in the morning providing coffee and bread as a way to gain trust of the workers, but also be able to provide some sort of training and education on their worker, on their rights. And it ranges. I mean, it's not solely an attention to worker health and safety, but wage and hour, general worker rights in terms of preparing themselves for work. I also have a picture here of Western Mass Cosh, which has partnerships with Lutheran Social Services, and it has a very diverse camp of immigrant refugees from Somalia, Iraq, and Burma that gather for assistance in social services and immigration. So multiple translators are used to provide a wide range of training. This one in particular is on bloodborne pathogens. As you can see, a lot of them have gloves and needles as examples. And finally, here at the bottom, I have a photo of Irma Avalos, who's a community health promoter, who also came from our leadership programs and is providing trainings at the consulates, Latin American consulates. So in Southern California, our Cosh groups has partnered with different consulates, specifically the Mexican, Guatemalan, Salvadoran consulate. And as folks are waiting in the waiting room to get services on passports, what they call their matriculas, identification, we have community health promoters who have gone through our leadership programs providing different sorts of information. So I didn't want to just tell you what we do. I wanted to show you a little bit Irma Avalos in action, and more or less so you see the dynamic of what happens during these visits. Little snippet of Irma Avalos, who actually was a food service worker herself and went through some leadership and training development with SoCal Cosh and in partnership with Esperanza Community Health Promoters. And what we did is that Irma in particular, from the program she came, a lot of the community health promoter programs focus on a lot of community issues like diabetes, prenatal care, some of the most popularly and more common community issues, and we noticed that there was a lack of focus in occupational health and safety, and we figured, wow, this should be an issue. I mean, everyone's a worker. You know, a lot of these women do these classes and then run to work, and we thought that as a partnership, we were able to build into their community health promoter program a piece on worker health and safety. For those who didn't speak Spanish, who don't speak Spanish, Irma was basically providing information on CalOSHA, which is the agency that that oversees worker health and safety. And she was basically asking folks, who here has heard of CalOSHA? did you know this is what they do? They provide information about workers' rights, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to show her in action. And again, this is just a little snippet. Sometimes she does storytelling where she brings images of workers, tells a story. It's very interactive where she's asking folks in the audience questions. At first, it's a little bit of a challenge because folks are like, I'm here to get my passport, not to hear someone tell me what I'm supposed to know about my rights. So the icebreaker piece takes about a minute or two when people finally get it, and she actually does a little disclaimer where she says, I know you're here for specific services, but you're here for a wait time. In the meanwhile, let me give you some information that you might find useful. So our KOSH groups, again, we have a high focus on education and training, but one thing that I think makes us very different, and maybe I think a lot of the programs here too also adapt this philosophy, I can't talk to this morning, is around training for change. So it's very learner-centered and participatory. A lot of our specific training content will vary among KOSH groups. You know, for the most part, a lot of them do have information on basic worker health and safety, on whistleblower protections, and some of your most basic rights. So in addition to that, depending on the audience that we're reaching out to, we'll focus that training on chemical hazards, if it's on ergonomics, repetitive strain disorders, etc. We'll always have a topic on workers' rights and action planning. That is essential to our training. So we strive not to do this one-shot training, but try to develop relationships and also identify specific worker leaders where we can continue growing our programs. Again, our educational principles that guide our work are experiential and empowered learning, listening and reflection, mentorship, questioning and not telling, building a container or learning environment characterized by trust, openness, honesty, self-critique, mutual respect, and support. Most recently, we've been working in collaboration with Interfaith Worker Justice, which is a network of different worker centers throughout the country. And we've been developing these national training of trainers, basically where these different worker centers identify key worker leaders in their centers. We invite them to our training of trainers where we have a very exclusive focus on worker health and safety. Most recently, we have done trainings in Chicago, in Phoenix, actually, with the Houston Worker Center, and also in North Carolina, where we had different graduates go through a diverse training of topics that exclusively also included worker taking action. That was very key to us. So at the end, we did action planning, leading them to focus on some of the programs and projects that they were going to develop right after this training. So here's some images that I have of some of the key projects that came out of some of these training. At the top, we have the OSH Activist Network, and this is a project in Southern California. Basically, the network comprises of different organizations in the region that advocate for workers. In addition to some regional OSHA managers, we also have the chief of CalOSHA, Ellen Wydes, the labor commissioner, Julie Sue, who sit in on our meetings to hear out from some of the most pressing issues from the worker centers, the current campaigns that include the Clean Car Wash campaign, the warehouse workers, recycling industry, etc. So I have a sample here of some of their community meetings where we bring together, come to the table and try to address and identify very specific issues to our campaign. At the bottom we have the Youth Immigrant Leadership Program, which is run by, again, NYKOSH, the New York KOSH Group. And they play a key role in bringing revived and re-energized energy to the group in terms of reaching out at different events such as health fairs and also being key in providing information sometimes to their own parents as workers, their relatives. And finally here, I have an image of a Workers' Memorial Day event. Our KOSH groups play a key role in Workers' Memorial Day, which is the day that we commemorate the lives of workers who've fallen or have been injured at work. And we have a lot of worker leaders that take the initiative in these projects and do very creative events to capture the attention not only of the community but of media. This one in particular was in North Carolina, and the shoes that you see on the floor basically represent fallen workers. And for the most part, a lot of them identify with a specific name of a worker that has fallen in the area, in the state, or in the city. Since we are a national network, obviously one of the most easy ways for us to be able to share and distribute information among our network is through our website. However, it's not limited to the website. We do have quarterly calls or monthly calls in some situations where we are sharing information about our different projects, about how we can potentially partner up if other people have information on specific curricula or information on specific industries. And again, some of the fact sheets that are actually available not only to KOSH groups but to everyone here include information on OSHA rights, the OSHA inspection process, whistleblower protections, ergos, mapping health and safety problems, and ESL workplace safety dialogues. For the most part, our curricula does not require any sort of sophisticated equipment. We use flip charts, markers. We do risk mapping with, you know, and body mapping with big flip chart paper, and do a lot of role playing in our trainings as well. So we found that there's a growing crop of temporary agencies throughout the country, and specifically Massachusetts KOSH is taking a big lead in confronting this issue, where temp workers are facing extreme exploitation from wage theft to serious health and safety issues. And I wanted to show here again just a little snippet about a worker who's speaking out in a Massachusetts rally in favor of temp workers. So this was a worker leader in one of the worker centers in Massachusetts, KOSH, and she was basically speaking in favor of the REAL Act, which stands for the Reform Employment Agency Law Coalition. And again, this was a huge win in Massachusetts most recently, where the Temporary Workers' Right to Know Act was signed in August 6, 2012. And the bill basically requires agencies to provide information to workers that allows them to have to identify their employer and exercise their rights. So very basic information such as name of agency, the worksite employer, the type of work to be done, anticipated wages, and the rights to workers' comp and how to reach the Department of Labor standards, which was all information they did not have before. So Massachusetts KOSH, again, in collaboration with the worker centers, with key worker leaders, were able to take action and pass this act. And then also I just wanted to also share another recent victory, which was SoCal KOSH in collaboration with the Don't Waste LA campaign and the Los Angeles Alliance for a New Economy. Recycling workers are yet another hidden industry that has a lot of hazards and serious violations in terms of workers' rights. And through this network and partnership, SoCal KOSH submitted a very effective Cal OSHA complaint where 36 citations were given to a recycling waste company in the Los Angeles area, totaling about $40,000 in penalties to the employer. So to conclude, I just wanted to
put out that some of the strategies that we use is, one, using strategic outreach and partnership with the different worker centers and unions and community organizations, building a support network that provides some sort of follow-up, training for action or change, training peer educators, and building political leverage. And that concludes my presentation. If you have more, want more information, you're welcome to visit our website or look for us on Twitter and Facebook.
Okay,
any questions?
So that's all our time. But I'm sure the speakers would stay for a few minutes for questions. Do you have questions for this speaker or last speaker? Anybody got questions?
I'm wondering, you know, in terms of the overall of the community homeless, how do you sustain that in terms of the
paid? That's a great question. Yeah, Michael's asking, how do we sustain the community health promotoras if they're not being paid? In this situation, Irma Avalos is being paid. So what we do is we partner in Southern California, KASH specifically, partners with a community health promotora program, the Esperanza Community Health Promotora Program. And basically it's a six-month training program where they're preparing them on a variety of health topics, including worker health and safety. At the end of that six-month program, they are interning with an organization. For the most part, those organizations do provide some sort of stipend, but it's completely up to the organization. SoCalKASH, in terms of their budget, does provide a stipend for their promotora. So we do rely heavily on different grants. The Susan Harwood grant, which is an OSHA grant, is able to provide those sort of stipends for the community health promotoras that work with us. In some situations, since we work with allies such as unions, worker centers, we do make it a case that we do need to budget some money to provide transportation and a minimal stipend. So it takes a lot of creativity to be able to fund sometimes these promotoras.
Yeah.
Someone else had a question? I answered your question? Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't. Oh, okay.
Any other questions? Great, thank you.